Well, brothers and sisters, please turn in your Bibles to the Gospel of John, chapter 15. Continue to make our way through this Gospel. We're over halfway there. This morning we'll be looking at John chapter 15, verses 1 through 11. And hear now the reading of God's holy and inspired word. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered and thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. Lord, again, we ask that you would use your word today to grant us greater faith in your Son, Jesus Christ, to rest in his promises, to rest in his work. But also, Lord, we pray that you, by your Spirit, would use your word to move us and to motivate us to follow you and your commands and ultimately to abide in Jesus Christ. Use this word and use this jar of clay for your glory's sake. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. When God takes a cold, dead sinner and brings him to himself, new motives, new desires are formed in that person's life. As that heart of stone is replaced with a heart of flesh, new thoughts, new motives are created by the Holy Spirit. That person's motives and desires are no longer solely about glorifying oneself, but there's a reorientation to the glory of God in that person's life. A new desire to live with spiritual fruitfulness, to no longer live for the things of this world, but to see the fruits of God produced in him. Love and joy in one's life. A desire to grow like Jesus Christ. And this is really the purpose of redemption. This is why God has saved us, that we would turn from the unfruitful deeds of darkness and live for righteousness, for his glory. The Apostle Paul says this in Titus 2, that the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession who are zealous for good works. This is God's desire, this is God's hope and expectation for his people, that they would bear fruit. This is a purpose for his redemption in us. And if you have believed in Christ and you're here this morning, I hope that's your expectation and desire as well. Christ-likeness, to bear fruit for the glory of Jesus Christ, that you want that fruitfulness and joy and the glory of God in your life. And this is something about which Jesus speaks in our text this morning. In a little while, Jesus is going to be leaving his disciples. And not only does Jesus want them to know the importance of bearing spiritual fruit in their lives for their good and for the glory of God, but Jesus wants them to see how vitally important it is for them to abide in Jesus Christ so that they can produce that God-glorifying fruit in their lives. And his direction to the disciples is really pretty straightforward in this. Jesus identifies that he is their source of life. And if they want to see fruitfulness in their lives, they must abide in him. And brothers and sisters, Jesus' call to you and me is the same. If we want fruitfulness in our lives, we must abide in Jesus. We must abide in Jesus. And Jesus teaches us this point by using a picture, by using an illustration, by using an allegory, really, of the vine and the branches. And you see that in verses 1 through 6. And this imagery of the vine and the fruit which it produces was really a common one in ancient Israel. You would find this vine and the fruit of the vine all over Israelite coins. You would find it even on the temple, a picture of the vine and the fruit of the vine on the temple. But God himself uses this imagery in the Old Testament as well to describe his covenant people. As we read from Isaiah chapter 5 and sang in Psalm 80, Israel was a vine planted by the Lord, and this vine was to produce fruit for him, for the glory of God. And Jesus picks up this imagery when he calls himself the true vine and his Father the vine dresser. Because as God the Father and as Jesus looked at the vine that Israel was to be and the fruit that Israel was to produce in this world for the glory of God, the Lord saw that that vine was ultimately fruitless in this world, that it did not produce the glory and the fruit that it was designed to produce. And so God sends forth the true vine, the fulfillment of what Israel was to be, Jesus Christ, the true vine himself, who would be a faithful, fruitful vine. And this vine would have people united to him as fruitful branches. And the basic principle here that Jesus illustrates in this vine and branches allegory is really quite simple. The vine is the primary source of life and nourishment. The vine is the root, if you will, from which life flows to the branches. The branches are those offshoots of the vine on which the fruit grows. But in order for the branches to bear fruit, they must be connected to the source of life, to the vine. It's a simple picture. And if the branches are not connected, they don't produce fruit and they die. And what Jesus does is compare his followers as branches attached to him, the vine. Jesus is that vital source of life for all of his followers. And just as a branch bears fruit only when it abides in the vine, so also his followers will bear spiritual fruit only when they abide in him. But Jesus points out that there are two types of branches. There are branches that bear fruit, and there are branches that don't bear fruit. The branches that bear fruit are those followers who not only come into close contact with Christ and the gospel, but through the grace of God, through faith, accept Christ and the gospel and are truly and vitally connected to Jesus Christ. However, those branches that don't bear fruit, they're taken away and burned. They represent those followers who have come into close contact with Jesus and with the gospel, but those who do not ultimately believe. And how striking a picture or parable this would have been for the disciples in this moment, having just seen Judas depart from them. This Judas, who had been following Jesus Christ, one of their own, a professed follower of Jesus, like one of those branches who did not bear fruit and is taken away and thrown into the fire to be burned. Judas is now on his way to destruction. And when Jesus speaks of branches that do not bear fruit, he speaks of men like Judas, who at some point stand in very close connection with Jesus, even follow him as a Christian, as it were, but leave him and therefore are ultimately on their way to everlasting destruction. And as you read this passage and as you hear me say things like that, perhaps the thought is crossing your mind, well then, is Jesus saying that I can lose my salvation then? Can I be connected to Jesus and somehow fall away and lose my salvation in Christ? Can I fall from grace? Well, let me assure you that Jesus is not teaching that you can lose your salvation, and I am not saying that you can lose your salvation. You know, living in the time and place that we do in America has many wonderful blessings and benefits that comes with it. But one of the things that's not so good, that's not so great, is the exaggerated sense of individualism that we have here in America. That each person's thoughts and decisions and actions are entirely independent from anyone and anything else. And this conception bleeds into the church, and this impacts our view of our relationship to Jesus and our relationship to the church. And so whenever we think about the gospel, we just end up with this me and Jesus idea of a relationship with him and a relationship with the church. But this is not the worldview that the scriptures present to us. The scriptures speak in terms of covenant, and of covenant communities, covenant households, covenant families. And so, for instance, Abraham entered into covenant with God, and as a result, his entire household was included in that covenant with God. The whole nation of Israel was in covenant with God. Everyone who was part of Israel was in covenant with God, even those who were ultimately unbelievers. And so Paul could say in Romans 9 that they are not all Israel who are of Israel. Not all of them were true believers. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 that all of those who left Egypt were baptized into Moses, yet many of them were destroyed in the wilderness for their unfaithfulness. The Apostle John has the same concept in mind in 1 John chapter 2, verse 19, when he talks about the church, the covenant community of God. And he says about this church that some went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they would have been of us, they would have continued on with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that none of them were of us. And so the scriptures present a worldview to us in which people can be united by covenant to God, to Jesus, in an outward and external sense, and not be truly united to him in a spiritual sense. And Jesus here is speaking from and with that same mindset of covenant relationship. This relationship of being in the vine, in Christ, does not refer only to a spiritual saving union with Jesus, but he's thinking in terms of covenant relationship, covenant union. And so William Hendrickson sums it up this way. He says, "In no sense whatever does this passage suggest that there is a falling away from grace, as if those who were once actually saved finally perish. This allegory plainly teaches that the branches which are taken away and burned represent people who never once bore fruit, not even when they were, quote, in Christ. Hence, they were never true believers. And for them, the in the vine relationship, though close, was merely outward." Friends, this is our understanding of the visible and the invisible church. The visible church is the covenant community of God in which there are true believers and yet which there are those who have made professions but aren't ultimately united to Jesus Christ in a saving way. People come and profess faith in Jesus Christ. They're members of the church. And yet there are some who do not truly believe. And so while they're connected and united as members of the church in an outward sense, internally they're dead and cold unbelievers. And so you can think of how you might engraft a branch onto another tree, or you engraft a branch onto a vine, and you wrap it around with a cord in the hopes that that branch will connect, they'll grow together and be united together. You see from the outward perspective that they're tied to the vine, but you can't see inside to find out if they're actually vitally connected. And for those who are part of the church but don't ultimately have faith in Christ, there is no vital connection to Jesus Christ, and they ultimately do not bear fruit. They wither and die. And so though they make a profession of faith in Jesus Christ, as Jesus says in Mark 7, they honor him with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And so it is then that those who do not bear fruit and are taken away were never truly or spiritually partakers of Christ by faith. But the true followers of Jesus, they heed his words, they abide in him and persevere to the end. The writer to the Hebrews puts it this way, "For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end." True believers persevere and bear fruit to the very end. And so Jesus is not teaching that you can lose your salvation if you're ultimately connected to him. True believers will never perish, and they will abide in Jesus Christ. And that's what Jesus calls you to do. And Jesus says, "Abide in me." And Jesus calls us to abide in him so that we will bear fruit for his glory. Abide in him so that you will bear fruit. In verse 4, Jesus says, "Abide in me." Similarly, in verse 9, he says, "Abide in my love." If the disciples are going to bear fruit, they need to be connected to the vine. And that initial connection to Jesus Christ, the true engrafting to that vine, comes through faith and faith alone in Jesus Christ. It's a work of grace. It's a work of your sovereign God. But if they're going to bear fruit, they need to abide in that vine and draw from that nourishing life of the vine. They must remain in that relationship with Jesus. And because the branch has no power in and of itself to produce any fruits. And likewise, the disciples in and of themselves have no spiritual ability or power to produce any fruit whatsoever. And we in and of ourselves can't produce fruit either. We don't have the spiritual power in and of ourselves to do that. We cannot generate good motives, good desires, or attitudes, or virtues, or words, or deeds. Human self-effort is fruitless. The promises of other religions are fruitless. Apart from him, we can do nothing. And that's what Jesus says. Apart from Christ, we can do nothing. It's only by abiding in Jesus that the disciples and you and I will see this fruit in our lives. But how is it that we are to abide in Christ so that that fruit will be produced? How is it that we draw or attain that nourishing, life-giving sap, as it were, that it flows into our lives so we can produce the beautiful fruit of righteousness in our lives from Jesus Christ? Well, the answer is found in verse 10. Jesus says, "If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love." You abide in Jesus Christ. You receive that nourishment from Jesus Christ by keeping his commandments. You abide in Jesus by keeping his commandments. Obedience to the commandments of God is what keeps a person vitally connected to Jesus and receiving the grace and the nourishment of Jesus Christ. If you keep my commandments, you will abide. Conversely, if you don't keep my commandments, you will not abide. And so, whereas Jesus spoke in verse 4 of abiding in him, and now he speaks in verse 10 of abiding in his love, there's no difference between the two. Christ's life-giving sap, as it were, in verses 1 through 6, and his love in verse 10 are connected. They're the same. Because it's out of Christ's love that he strengthens and he nourishes us so that we may flourish and grow and live. And if you and I would be connected to that love, to him in that way, we must walk according to his commandments. And when we do so, spiritual fruit blossoms in our lives. But when we don't keep Christ's commandments, the spiritual fruit in our lives is stifled. It begins to wither in our lives. So no doubt, whenever springtime comes, many of you will be excited to plant gardens. Many of you have green thumbs. Unlike me, I can't keep anything alive. But you'll go and plant a garden. Even if you don't plant a garden, you'll have maybe a tomato plants on your back porch or something like that. And your hope and your desire is to see these great, big, plump, red tomatoes formed on your tomato plant, right? Well, let me ask you something. What would happen if as you saw those tomatoes begin to form on your tomato plant, if you got a piece of string and you walked over to that tomato plant and you found the branch that had the tomato forming on it and you tied that piece of string around that branch as tight as you possibly could, what would happen to that tomato? It would start to wither, wouldn't it? It wouldn't grow anymore, would it? And what if you went around and you began to do that to every single branch on your tomato plant, even before the tomatoes began to start to form? You wouldn't have any tomatoes, would you? It would be fruitless. No fruit would be produced on your plant. You're restricting the growth. And that's how it is with keeping the commandments of God and abiding in Christ your vine. When you don't keep the commandments of God, it's as if there were a tightly tied rope cutting off that nourishment and vitality from Christ your vine. When a Christian begins to live contrary to the commandments of God, indulging in sin, the growth of spiritual fruit in his life begins to stall and even wither in your life. And that's what we call backsliding. When the fruit in our lives begins to wither, you see a lack of love, a lack of joy, a lack of peace and patience and all the rest, as well as a lack of faith and hope and assurance and virtue in your life. These things are being choked off in your walk. But when you do keep the commandments of God, you freely and unrestrictingly abide in Jesus Christ and the peaceable fruit of righteousness, along with the others, begin to blossom. They begin to grow in your life. And so, friends, instead of seeing the law of God as a restrictive thing, as so many see it today, it's actually something that promotes life and promotes spiritual fruit in your life. This is why the psalmist could sing its praises. How wonderful the law of God, how beautiful it is, how sweet it is, how precious it is. And this call to abide in Christ through obedience is laid on all who claim the name of Jesus Christ, all within the covenant community, the church. And this is not a command about gaining or maintaining any merit for salvation. That's not what we're talking about. So get that idea out of your head. This is not about gaining and maintaining salvation and keeping God's command so we can do that. That has been settled. Your salvation has been settled through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And it's through faith in the meritorious work of Jesus Christ that you have been saved. It's through faith in that work of Jesus that you have been severed from the vine of Adam and have been engrafted to the vine of Jesus Christ. That's settled, fully and permanently engrafted into Jesus. Praise God. But the command to abide and keep his commandments is simply a call to you who are in covenant with Christ, who are engrafted to Jesus, to the vine, to walk faithfully before him, consistent with your profession of faith in him. It's a warning, it's a command against backsliding and apostasy, a command to life and vitality. True believers will abide in Jesus and keep his commandments because they are created in Christ Jesus for what? For good works, which God prepared beforehand that they should walk in them. And this they do not of their own strength, but it's by the power of God working in them. Verse 4 says, abide in me and I in you. It's the power and grace of Christ in you that enables you to keep his commandments. True believers will abide because Christ is in them. What a wonderful truth. But friends, if you're a true believer, a true branch, you need to be ready to be pruned by the Father as well. Jesus says that in verse 2, that they may bear more fruit or return from their backsliding. We sang of David's experience earlier in Psalm 119. He said, before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word. It was good for me that I have been afflicted, that I may learn your statutes. It's as if David were saying, it was good for me that I was pruned by the Father, that I may keep God's commandments more fully, so Christ could abide in me all the more, and I could be more fruitful for Jesus and for the glory of God. And so, friends, do you see your afflictions as God's tender pruning in your life? His removing of sin and disobedience from your life so that you may live more fully and fruitfully for Jesus Christ. This is his good work in you. He's not being mean to you. He's not abusing you, but he's making you more fruitful and faithful to Christ. And this isn't the case for the false Christian, for the true unbeliever. They will either show no fruit and no obedience or will keep the commands of God in some external, outward way that bears some semblance to Christian fruit. But it's an obedience and fruit flowing from an unregenerate and a dead heart. They're empty deeds. And though we may not be able to see so or see the difference between the two, the Father knows because he is the true vine dresser. He knows the difference. He will ultimately tend his vine. But you and I are to abide in Christ and bear fruit by keeping his commandments. But there's some more going on in this passage here, which Jesus points out. Certain things that Jesus describes that will be the effect or the result of abiding in him and bearing this fruit. And there are four of these which Jesus identifies in this passage. Four results of abiding and bearing fruit by keeping God's commandments. And the first one is in verse 7, and it's the transformative and effective prayer. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. Now, the more you abide in Christ and abide in his word, the more his word fills your mind and your heart. And what happens to you? It begins to transform the way you think and the things that you desire, the things that you want. And so that'll begin to change the kinds of things that you ask for when you pray to God. The desires and the things that you ask for to God are more consistent with God's will. And so it's hard to imagine then that such a person wouldn't receive those things that he's asking from God because they're according to God's will. That's what Jesus is trying to direct our minds to here. Transformative and effective prayer. But the second result of abiding in Christ and bearing fruit by keeping his commandments is that God is glorified. Verse 8, by this my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit. So as you abide in Christ and walk according to his commandments and bear fruit, the character of God is formed in you more and more. You resemble Jesus Christ more and more. You begin to reflect the character and the communicable attributes of God more and more. And so just like the moon reflects the glory of the sun in the sky, you will begin to reflect the glory of your Father in heaven more and more in your life as you abide in Jesus Christ. Thirdly, one of the third results of abiding in Jesus and bearing fruit by keeping the commandments of God is that you show that you're Christ's disciples. Verse 8, by this my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. Jesus is the one who perfectly obeyed his Father. whose character was perfectly reflected in Jesus Christ. By his obedience, the Father's glory was perfectly reflected. And if we would be the disciples of Christ, it only makes sense that we would walk in a similar way. And we're not going to do that perfectly. We'll continue to stumble and fall. But through repentance and faith, we follow the footsteps of Jesus Christ and continue to do so, proving to be Christ's disciples by bearing fruit that only can be produced by Jesus Christ. Remember, apart from him, you can do nothing. But in him, you can see the fruits of God produced in your life. Fourthly and finally, the result of abiding in Christ, producing fruit by keeping his commandments, is that you are filled with joy. Verse 11. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. Jesus wants you to be filled with joy. In fact, this is one of the purposes for which you were created, right? To glorify God and to enjoy him forever. You were created to function for your Maker, to reflect his image and glory by your living according to his character, his character revealing law. And whenever a person or a thing functions according to its purpose, there's a fulfillment and a joy that results when that occurs. And when you abide in Christ by walking according to his commandments, you fulfill the purpose in your life as one who is created by God. And there's no greater joy than doing what you were intended to do and being who you were intended to be, united to Jesus Christ and living as Jesus would have you live. We think we can find joy in so many other things apart from God. And we try to fill our lives with those things. But Jesus says, if you have joy, follow me. Fill your life with me and my word and my commands. There is joy. There is peace. There is satisfaction. Not in the things of this world. So therefore, brothers and sisters, abide in Christ and bear fruit by keeping his commandments. God's brought you into a relationship with Jesus so that you would bear fruit. You would bear fruit to the end that your desires are conformed more and more to the will of God, that you would bear fruit for the glory of God, that you would bear fruit showing that you're Christ's disciples, that you would bear fruit so that your joy would be full. This is God's purpose in redeeming you. It's God's desire for you. And I pray that by the grace of God, it's your desire and your hope as well. Jesus in this passage shows us how we can exist in order that such fruitfulness will occur in our lives. And that is in him. He is your source of life. And as a Christian, Jesus is your life-giving vine. You are the branches attached to him. Friends, you see what Jesus has done. The work of Christ has freed you from the curse of the law so that that law can now be used as an instrument to produce and promote fruit in your life. It is no longer against you, but in Christ it is for you. It is something that allows you to experience fruitfulness in your life. By the truth that Jesus teaches in this passage, taken along with the rest of the scriptures, we gain a fuller picture of how the Christian can grow and thrive. You abide in Christ by keeping his commandments. So the vitality of transforming grace is not choked off in your life. And so with that hindrance gone, you can then use the means of grace, prayer, the word, the sacraments, the fellowship of God's people to produce transforming grace in you, to grow in Jesus Christ. But you must abide. You must believe in Jesus Christ, rest in him, and do so following after Christ and keep his commandments. Jesus says, abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. So brothers and sisters, abide in Christ and bear fruit by keeping his commandments. Let's pray. Our Lord in heaven, we thank you so much for the abundance of grace that you give to us in Jesus Christ. We thank you that when we were weak and helpless, dead sinners, that you acted, that you showed your love, and that you saved us, not because of any works or any fruit we were producing at the time. But Lord, you saved us from death to life through the complete and finished work of Jesus Christ. And we thank you so much for that. We thank you for granting us the faith that we needed to trust in him to be vitally connected to Jesus Christ, our vine, fully and permanently. And Lord, we thank you that we will stand in that position forever because of the work of Christ. We will never be taken away. And God, we pray now that you would grant us the heart and the faith by the Spirit of God to walk in your commandments, to follow after you, to do what it is you want us to do, not to earn favor with you, not to earn salvation from you, Lord, but to walk in such a way that does not grieve your Spirit, but to walk in a way that follows your Spirit into your commandments, that we might see fruit in our lives by not choking off what you would produce in us by your means of grace. Help us, O Lord, to do this. Forgive us when we fail, and help us always to remember that we trust in Jesus ultimately at the end. We ask you for these things by your grace. In Jesus' name, amen.